Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
Heavenly Father, I come right now, God. I just thank you. I thank you for your constellation, God. I thank you for your revelation, God. I thank you for your discernment. And I thank you for this book of Jeremiah, God. God, I ask you to open our minds and keep us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, according to many commentary, including Metzler, Jeremiah 30 through 31, I do believe we're in chapter 30. If I'm wrong, y'all, let me know. It's the time of Jacob's trouble, but how also it's called the book of constellation. And constellation means to comfort, alleviation of misery or distress of a of somebody's mind. So these are these books, chapters 30 through 33. Jeremiah is writing to the people to console them, but also give them hope, okay? So this was written in Jerusalem's final stage of the 18-month siege in the 10th year of Zedekiah. You know, of course, we know Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians had laid siege and with their alliance with the Egyptians when, you know, we know that Israel tried to have an alliance with Egypt, right? But that failed, and which Jeremiah had predicted it was not going to work. Jeremiah is in prison because of his message and his views regarding everything is treasonous, okay? But he's in prison, but he does not really get gloomy. He is speaking, God is speaking through him to predict the future for Israel, okay? So I just wanted to give you some type of setting on what we're going to be talking about in these books. We're also going to get a new covenant in Jeremiah, going from the old promise that he gave Abraham and Jacob and Isaac to a new redemption covenant that we're going to be talking about in chapter 31. Okay? The ideas are not unique. However, you're going to see that there's going to be the Bible is stating that Israel is going to be around forever. Now, I am not talking about politics. I'm just talking about Israel as a nation in the context of the Bible. Okay. And the reason why I said that is because, you know, we are out here in these YouTube streets, and I don't want us nobody to think that our church is being radical or talking against anybody, okay? All right, so verse 1 in chapter 30.
The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Write in the book all the words that I have spoken to you.
Okay, so he told him to write in the book all of the words he has spoken to him. If you go to Isaiah 30 and 8. It says, and now go write it before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book. That they may be for time to come as witnesses forever. So he told Isaiah the same thing. Write the vision. Make it plain, right? Let's go to Habakkuk. And that's not what the scripture said, but that just popped in my head, so I apologize. 2. Ooh, I didn't even know I was going to say. Look at God. So Habakkuk 2 and 2 says, and the Lord answered me to write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. So you know the song says, so they may run and not faint. That is not biblical. It is, and the Lord answered me and write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits for its appointed time. It hastens to the end and it will not lie. It seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. That means that you're going to write, God is telling him to write the vision. What happened? Make it so people can understand. And when they read it, they're going to run with it, which means they're going to believe.
Right.
Listen, I'm sorry I got excited. Apologize. Because people take their scripture and take it in the wrong way.
They actually think it means like to run with it with a vision, but it's mm-hmm. actually to understand what is written.
Correct. Yes, ma'am.
Right. That's what I was going to piggyback off what he just said, because, you know, writing that vision and making it plain so other people can read, it means that they would understand and be able to duplicate it and follow it too.
Correct. And this, right. this in Habakkuk's, the vision that he's writing is what God gave him. And so therefore they can realize that what he's telling them is God wants them to see it in the future. Let's go to Daniel 12 and 4.
But isn't Habakkuk's time during Jeremiah's time too?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I hate to bother, but anybody got an extra pen I can borrow?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Let's go to Daniel 12 and 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to it and fro, and knowledge shall increase. So Daniel had to write his conversation that he had with the angel and write it down and shut it up. It wasn't for him to interpret what it was right then, because Michael had told him a lot. He didn't understand it, okay? And he did that, okay? And then let's go to Revelations. One. Verse 11. And we know that John is the author of Revelations and is saying, do something wrong?
They're pronouncing the S. It's Revelation.
Oh, I didn't even realize I was doing it.
I know everybody. So I was just laughing. It's like you take Revelations.
Okay, Revelation. I see. I don't know why the S is there. I see the S not being there. So Revelation.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
Right? Revelation. Chapter
1. Okay.
Verse 11. Write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus. And Samaria and Ephesus, thank you. And Samaria and to Pergamon and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. So John had to write it down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this concept of writing things down, Isaiah did it, Jeremiah did it, Daniel did it, Habakkuk did it. Mm-hmm. Now we have John doing it. So it's a God asked them to write things so therefore we can take it for our understanding.
And most of all, Moses did it.
Correct.
Yeah.
He wrote it on the tablet. So therefore you can't say you didn't know.
Didn't Joshua write something?
I think Joshua did, but yeah. I can't remember where.
Yeah, I think Joshua did write something.
Okay. So somebody wrote something because it's written down. The scribes had to write something.
Right. Right.
But I was trying to focus on what those scriptures that actually stated that they needed to write this down.
Mm-hmm.
And we already know that when Jeremiah wrote his stuff down, the king before, the king of the time, tried to destroy it. And then his scribe had to write it all over again, because God's words is not going to be void and you can't scratch it out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jeremiah, go back to 30.
Verse 3.
Uh-huh.
For behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will restore the fortunes of my people, Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will bring them back to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall take possession of it.
Okay, so let's read that sentence. He did. Now, we know that this is restoration, but it's not only for Judah, right?
Right.
It's for Israel. So this dispels Israel, not the nation, Israel and Judah, the two separate tribes, mm-hmm. this dispels that the 12 tribes are lost.
That's right.
Okay? Yeah, they not lost. They there the whole time. Right. Okay?
It is dispersed.
Correct. So I wanted to make sure that we realize that he is restoring both, not just Judah. Mm-hmm. Okay? Hebrews 8 and 8. For he finds fault with them when he says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, and let's read verse 7 because I know I'm not going to mention it later. But it says, for it is the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. For he finds fault with them when he says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I show no concern for them, declares the Lord. Now, mind you, we're going to be reading further in Jeremiah, and Hebrews is almost verbatimly taking a lot of this from Jeremiah. You'll see that, now, if not in this chapter, but in chapter 31. And verse 10 says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God. They shall be my people.
Now, that's another one of scripture. Context, because people don't understand that's specifically for the nation of Israel.
Correct.
That's not for the church.
And it is, and I know for a fact because I just studied it, that is in Jeremiah 31. Mm-hmm. The eight, Hebrews 8 and 10, all of that is directly from Jeremiah 31. Yeah. We'll talk more about it, but in my notes for 31, I didn't even mention Hebrews, and this was none but God, because I was only supposed to go to 8 and 8. Okay. So we know Hebrews and Jeremiah, I mean, matter of fact, it's 31 and 1 and 31 and 33 for your reference. That is exactly, matter of fact, 31 and 33 is exactly almost the same as Hebrews 8 and 10. So you know Jeremiah wrote it first and Hebrews had to use it as a reference. Okay, and there's no plagiarism in the Bible. It's this God's word. Okay, he cited it.
You know, he had to repeat it for us.
Uh-huh. Right. That's just some college humor. I apologize. So let's go back to Jeremiah.
Jeremiah 30 and verse 4. These are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. Thus says the Lord. We have heard a cry of panic, of terror, and no peace. Ask now and see, can a man bear a child? Why then do I see every man with his hands on his stomach like a woman in labor? Why has every face turned pale?
So this is terror, anguish. They're making an analogy to childbirth, right? Yeah. And that is not limited to women. It's a figure of speech, okay? So let's go to, I'm not going to have us go to it. But if you want a reference when God uses, when Jeremiah uses the figure of speech, when God tells him in childbirth, we talked about it in 4 and 31. We talked about it 6 and 24. We talked about it in 13 and 21, 22 and 23, 30 and 6. We'll talk about it again in 49 and 24 and 50 and 43. So I believe that the reason why it is used, so because the childbirth and it's so much anguish for some, that's the best analogy that you can, the worst pain that you can kind of give to humans, okay?
Is that analogy, those scriptures you just read, is that all Jeremiah?
All Jeremiah.
Okay,
go to verse 7.
Alas, that day is so great, there is none like it. It is a time of distress for Jacob. Yet he shall be saved out of it.
So Jacob's trouble is not not for Babylon or the world's is theirs. So we're going to go to a couple of scriptures so you can kind of understand a little bit more. Matthew 24. Mm-hmm. 24 and 21. For then there will be great tribulations, such as not has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days have not been cut short, no human being will be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. So it's talking about the great tribulation. Daniel 12, of course we got to go to Daniel because Daniel talked about that. 12 and 1. And if you notice, Matthew 24 and 21, Daniel 12 and 1 is almost similar. At this time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be great trouble, such as never has been since, and there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. Now you already know that that's a we talk about the book in Revelation, correct? Mm-hmm. Let's go to Isaiah 2. 12. For the Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty, and against all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low, against all of the cedars of Lebanon, lofty and lined up, against all the oaks of Bashan, and against all of the lofty mountains, against all the uplifted hills, against every high tower, against every 4-foot wall, against all the ships of tarnish, and against all the beautiful crafts. And the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the lofty pride of men shall be brought low. And the Lord alone will be exalted in all that day. And the idols shall utterly pass away. And the people shall enter the caves of the rocks and the holes of the ground, from before the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty when he rises to terrify the earth. In that day, mankind shall cast away their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship, to the moles and to the bats, and to enter the caverns of the rocks and the clefts of the cliffs from before the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty when he rises to terrify the earth. So that is Isaiah talks about that, and then we'll go to Ezekiel. Of course we got to go to Ezekiel, right? He says, for the day is near. For the day is near, the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds and a time of doom for the nations. And we can go to Amos. Chapter 5, 18 through 20. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light. As if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. It is not the day of the Lord darkness, and not the light in the gloom with no brightness in it. I hate and I despise your feast, and I have no delight in your solemn assemblies. And that's from Amos. And if you go into Micah 1:2-5, Zephaniah 1:2-3, and verse 8, and Zechariah 14:1-8, and 12-15, you will find the same type of language. Okay? I want to go to Revelation. Now you got me thinking. 3:10. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. Commentary wants us to understand that Jacob, which is the house of Israel, I mean the nation of Israel, will go through that period that we were describing. But the church will be saved out of it. The Lord deals with the church and with Israel almost mutually exclusive. So just because a pronouncement was made against the house of Jacob does not mean it applies to the church. The only people it applies to is the Jews, not to the church.
And I think that's the biggest problem with Christians, because they combine the covenant with the Jews with the covenant of the church, and they're two separate entities. Because in the day of the terror, Thessalonians say that we're going to be taken up.
You know, right.
We're pre-tribulation. You know what I'm saying? You got people who are post-tribulation, you got people who are mid-tribulation, and you got people who are tribulation. But there is a significant difference between Israel and the church. It's like when you was reading Hebrews, okay? The fact that it was written to Hebrews means it was written to Jewish believers.
Correct.
So their relationship to the Old Testament is different than our relationship to the Old Testament. The Old Testament was written to us, but it wasn't written for us.
Correct.
Yeah.
And according to and according to Mesler, he says the Old Testament phrase for great tribulation is the time of Jacob's trouble. That's a 7-year period of time of a treaty between the world ruler and Israel in the middle of the 7-year period. He violates that treaty and forbids the normal worship and forces them to worship him. So again, that 7 years that we talked about in Daniel, about that is not for the church. That is for the Jews.
So that is their,
yes,
their punishment for their disobedience.
Correct.
Well, for now, it's their punishment for refusing their Messiah.
Correct. Because they could have gotten redemption if they had just accepted him.
Yep.
Right. Okay. And we'll talk more about that redemption when we get to chapter 31. All right. So we're going to go back to Jeremiah 30.
Yes. And it shall come to pass in that day, declares the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off your neck, and I will burst your bonds, and foreigners shall no more make a servant of him.
So I got so excited because we talked about the yoke and the bonds in Ezekiel, and I literally could not find that scripture because I was freaking out. But I know it is in Ezekiel, and Ezekiel 37 and 24. Because we talked about how a yoke is, and we continue to talk about it. Mm-hmm. You'll read it. I cannot find the scripture, but either way, we did talk about Ezekiel about the yoke, and that the yoke was this contraption that you put on the animal, and it's so you can guide the animal, right? And so you can control them. And God is saying to them that I will break the yoke off your neck and burst the bonds so that nobody can control you anymore. Okay? Mm-hmm. I just wanted to give you that. So he's talking to the people of Israel, because as long as they're in captivity, they're going to have a yoke.
Right.
But the yoke is going to be broken and they're going to be free again. However, they have to endure this yoke because of their disobedience.
Mm-hmm. Right. Before we get to Jeremiah 29:11, they got to go through the years of captivity.
Correct. Yes, yes, ma'am.
Prior to that, wasn't it a wooden yoke that was putting on Jeremiah?
So we have the stocks that he was twisted. The other yoke that we talked about a couple weeks ago was a symbol of the yoke when the man broke it. Those are symbols, but there it's actually the same thing, but he's saying that he's going to break the yoke. Now, that man who died shouldn't have broke the yoke because he wasn't God. So I don't want you to get confused, but the yoke is a symbol of their captivity.
And the stocks are normally in prisons.
Correct.
They're fixed. You know how you see in the old pirate movies, they put them on the wall and have them like this? That's a stock.
Yeah.
A yoke is attached around the neck of the animal and
your hands,
and it steers you. The stock is fixed, you know what I'm saying, to the building. So when he's put in prison, that was when he was in the stocks. You know, you watch movies, say they're going to put him in the stocks. Mm-hmm. That's what that is.
And he was put in a stock one day in the scripture, and then they let him out thinking he would stop speaking God's word, and he put past judgment against them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go back to Jeremiah 30, and I think we're on verse 9.
Yeah. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them.
Now we know that David ain't going to be resurrected. We know that he's talking about who?
Jesus.
Go ahead.
Then fear not, O Jacob, my servant, declares the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from far away, and your offspring from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return and have quiet and ease, and none shall make him afraid.
So we know when he says Jacob shall return, he's talking about the houses of, you know, Jacob's name is Israel. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about Israel as a whole.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
For I am with you to save you, declares the Lord. I will make a full end of all nations among whom I scattered you. But of you, I will not make a full end. I will discipline you in just measure, and I will by no means leave you unpunished.
So I'm going to save you, but you're finna get in trouble. So let's go to Ezekiel 11. Of course, I'm going to go to Ezekiel. Therefore say, thus said the Lord, though I have removed them far off among the nations, and though I've scattered them among the countries, yet I have been a sanctuary to them for a while in the countries where they have gone. Therefore say, thus said the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries where you have been and scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And when they come there, they will remove from all of its detestable things and all the abominations. Okay? And then he gives something too. I'm going to go to 19 because I like this. And I will give them one heart and a new spirit, and I will put within them, and I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Okay, if they'll make you run, I don't know what will, but that's fine. Let's go to 12, verse 12 in Jeremiah.
For thus says the Lord, your hurt is incurable, and your wound is grievous. There is none to uphold your cause, no medicine for your wound, no healing for you.
Okay, so I believe I want to go to... Let me make sure. I don't want y'all to go there and then it's wrong. Hold on. Go ahead. Hold on 1 second. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 14. All your lovers have forgotten you. They care nothing for you. For I have dealt you the blow of an enemy, the punishment of a merciless foe, because your guilt is great, because your sins are flagrant. Why do you cry out over your hurt? Your pain is incurable, because your guilt is great, because your sins are flagrant. I have done these things to you. Therefore, all who devour you shall be devoured, and all your foes, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall be plundered, and all who prey on you, I will make a prey.
Okay, so let's go to Lamentation, which is right after Jeremiah. 1 and 2. She weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her, and they have become her enemies. Let's go to, just go ahead and go down to Lamentations 3 and 39. And of course, we know that Jeremiah wrote these Lamentations. Why should a living man complain, a man about the punishment of his sins? Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. And then let's go to Hosea, which is right after Daniel, chapter 2, verse 10. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall rescue her out of her hand. And I will put an end to all her mirth, her feast, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her appointed feasts. And I will lay waste to her vines and her fig trees, of which she said, these are my wages which my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall devour them. And I will punish her for the feast of the days of Baals, which she burnt offerings to them, and adored herself with her ring and jewelry, and went after her lovers, and forgot me, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. And there I will give her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And there she shall answer as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. And in that day, declares the Lord, you call me my husband, and no longer will you call me my Baal. And that's God's mercy on Israel. But his description is kind of a little bit of alluring. And then lastly, we'll go to Ezekiel, of course. 35 and 5. Because you have cherished perpetual enmity and gave over the people of Israel to the power of the sword, at that time of their calamity, and at that time, their final punishment. Okay, so we can go back to Jeremiah and pick up.
Excuse me.
Yes, ma'am.
What is flagrant mean?
Ask me that question one more time. My mind just blanked.
What is flagrant?
You did it like out there.
Abusively.
Yeah, like, I mean, you basically, let's take a husband and a wife, right? And you having an affair, and you doing it right in front of your husband.
Okay.
And it's just like, it's just blatant. Like, you doing it without no regard, no care about my feelings,
basically,
no nothing.
You're doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't care about the consequences.
Don't care. Right?
Yeah. What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
You're not even hiding. It's almost like, I dare you to.
I dare you to do something.
Yeah.
And so the people of Israel was like, I dare you, God, do something. You ain't going to do nothing. You always save us. So I don't know what you get all mad about.
I'm going to just say, quit. I'm sensitive right now. Don't say that. Don't say that right now. Ava should have said, pump this up. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's go to verse 17. Let's go to verse 17.
For I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord, because they have called you an outcast. It is Zion for whom no one cares. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will restore the fortunes of the tents of Jacob and have compassion on his dwellings. The city shall be rebuilt on its mound, and the palace shall stand where it used to be. Out of them shall come songs of thanksgiving, and the voices of those who celebrate. I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will make them honored, and they shall not be small. Their children shall be as they were of old, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all who oppress them.
Okay, so let's know something. that he said he's going to restore the health of the nation of Israel, right? Mm-hmm. And that all that have persecute them are going to be banished. Note that any country during that time, nation, that persecuted Israel no longer exists. But the ones who blessed Israel are still there.
What did she just end up? Where you just end at?
Just 20.
20 on Jeremiah 31?
Yeah, she ended at 30. Jeremiah 30 and 20.
I'm just sick as my Bible.
Yeah, we're in
30. Yeah. Yours should have ended it saying, their children shall also be aforetime, and their congregation shall be establishment before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. Your verse 20. Does it not say that? Because you have the New King James Version.
Yes.
Okay. So we just stopped at verse 20.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I forgot to give you a reference, because her... the ESV, ASV skips some words, so sometimes it's hard to follow. Let's go to Zechariah 8. We all over the Bible today, y'all.
But what you were saying that the, you were talking about the nations, what were you just saying?
The nations during that time that persecuted them do not exist. There's no Babylon.
He follows, I will bless those who bless Israel, and those who curse Israel, I'll curse them with a curse.
Okay.
So any of those countries that you don't know about, we don't know none of, they gone.
They gone.
Okay. But those who helped them are still in existence. Okay.
In verse, he just that he would bless those who bless Israel and curse those who did. What specifics was that one?
Okay. So you can go to, that's in 20. Jeremiah 30. If you start at Jeremiah 30, 15 through 20, you'll see what we're talking about. Okay?
Now I have a question, Phoenix, for you that I haven't figured out yet. Is there a reason why he addresses him as Jacob sometime and as Israel another time?
Well,
like, what is the purpose? And I know this has to be, because sometimes he addresses the nation as Jacob.
Yep.
And then he addresses the nation. I ain't talking about the northern, but the nation is Israel. Is there a reason?
I was trying to figure. I had to. So when we get in chapter 31, I went back to the story of Jacob and when he got his name changed.
Mm-hmm.
We gonna go back there, because I was trying to figure out. So this is the only thing I could think of.
Mm-hmm.
You know how when you got a nickname for a kid and you change their name, and when they good, that's their nickname.
Okay.
But when they bad, you call them by their government name.
So in other words, Jacob is the transgressor's name.
Correct. Because Israel is the name that he gave him.
Right.
So it'd be just like, you know, oh, Abram, you know better than that. But when he love you, he Abraham.
I got you. Gotcha.
That's my only thing, because it talks about
he always talks about Jacob in like a negative.
It is
way.
Because remember, Jacob was something else.
Yeah, he was a deceiver.
And so whenever God gives him a new name, that old person that was bad is renewed, because you know Abram was a Gentile. Abraham is a Jew. Right?
That's the change.
Abram was a Gentile. Abraham was the Jew. They're the same person. Abraham's real name was Abram. It wasn't Abraham.
Right.
See, God gave him a new name. Just like Saul, Saul is Paul, right? When you get a new name, it changes your identity.
So how did it change from a Jew to a Gentile?
Because there weren't Jews until Abraham.
No, he changed from a Gentile
to a Jew. Everybody was a Gentile until Abraham came along and God promised him a nation.
And circumcision on the eighth day.
Right. And so Abraham is the first, he's the father of the Jews.
Yeah, they consider him the father of the Jews.
Everybody was just Gentiles. It wasn't a nation. Everybody was just living.
Right.
And then when he changed Abraham's name to Abraham, from Abram to Abraham, then the nation of the concept of Judaism was created. And that's when all of the circumcision, everything starts with him. So they say Father Abraham had many sons, because they honor him as the beginning of the nation of Israel. So that is the reason. So
it wasn't until Jacob that they changed the name
to Israel. Because he said, Jacob, your name is no longer Jacob, it's Israel. We'll read about that when we get to chapter 31.
So Abraham was not an Israelite. Abraham was,
a Gentile.
Was a Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he became Abraham, he became a Jew. But Abraham was not an Israelite.
Correct.
Because Israelite name didn't come until Jacob got his name. Those his son's names.
Right.
Right.
So that's why we're going to dig down into the Genesis scriptures before we really understand what happens in some of the scriptures in 31. But that is the only reason, that's the only thing I can think of, because it's interchangeable. But when it's bad, it's Jacob's trouble. when you be like, oh, baby this, baby that. But then when you call them by their government name, you know you in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So the government, you no longer my seed. You now you're Jacob. So let's go to 30 and 21.
Okay. Their prince shall be one of themselves. Their ruler shall come out from their midst. I will make him draw near, and he shall approach me. For who would dare of himself to approach me, declares the Lord. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God.
Okay, so let's go to Ezekiel. Yeah, I might as well just keep your finger there. 34. And 23. It says, and I will set upon, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be their prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. We know who he's talking about. Mm-hmm. 37, Ezekiel 37. And 24.
Please enlighten me. Who is he speaking about?
Jesus.
Okay.
Because they call him the Prince of Peace, the right. Lord of Lords. And David is Jesus is a descendant of David.
Right.
So that's what they're referring to.
Okay, I just didn't.
No, you can always stop me. Okay, 37 and 24.
In what book?
Ezekiel.
Okay.
My servant David shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall walk in my rules and be careful to obey my statutes. So, just so you understand, that he can't be talking about the David that they know, because David is dead.
Yeah,
he's been dead a long time. So we know that when he say David, he's talking about the king to come, which we know is Jesus. Because David's not going to be rose up and be king anymore.
What did you just read that again?
Huh?
Read what you just read.
My servant David shall be king over them. And they shall all have one shepherd. They shall walk in my rules and be careful to obey my statutes. What you thought I said?
Nothing. I just wanted to hear you. I thought you said something about peace. I know you said something about peace before.
Oh no, I was
telling you. But David never lived in, never had any peace.
No, he did not.
And yeah. I was thinking of the real David, instead of
right.
the one.
That's why I went back and said, that's why I wanted to make sure I understood what she was asking.
Right.
Zechariah. How you know I was going to go there?
13.
9 and 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he. Now listen to this. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. And of course, we know that he's talking about Jesus. Okay? Let's go back to Hold up. Go to Zechariah 6 and 12 while we're here. And say to him, thus said the Lord of hosts, behold, the man whose name is the branch, for he shall branch out from his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. And we talked about the branch, right? We know that that's another analogy for Jesus. Okay? So now we're going to go back to Jeremiah. We're going to finish up the chapter. We're going to go to verse 22. Jeremiah 30 and 22.
And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intentions of his mind. In the latter days, you will understand this.
Okay, so let's go to Ezekiel. Verse 5-7. And it says, and all flesh shall know that I am the Lord. I've drawn my sword from its sheath, and it shall not be seized again. As for you, son of man, groan with the breaking of heart and bitter grief, groan before their eyes. And then when they say to you, why do you groan? You say, because of the news that it is coming, every heart will melt and all hands will be feeble. Every spirit will faint and all knees will be weak as water. Behold, it is coming and it will be fulfilled, declares the Lord. So they know that this is not, either you're going to do what God tell you to do or you're not. But when he unsheathes, he finna get you. Okay. When we come back, we will be in chapter 31. For reference, I would like you to look at Genesis 35. So we can have a reference about some things that are being talked about in Genesis 35. Matter of fact, you can start with 29 if you want to. But we will be talking about that as well. Any questions before I pray out? Okay. Heavenly Father, I come right now, God. I just thank you for restoration, God. I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you that we don't have to endure the punishment that is pronounced on our brothers and sisters in the Jews. However, God, we know that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are God. And we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that we are not under the law. We are under your grace. And so, God, we just thank you and we give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN Network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome and we look forward to seeing you soon.